Acts chapter 23. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul to him, "God shall smite you, you whitened wall, for sit you to judge me after the law, and command me to be smitten contrary to the law." And they that stood by said, "Revile you God's high priest?" Then said Paul, "I knew not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people.'" But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question." And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also at Rome." And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore you with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down to you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, before he comes near, are ready to kill him." And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, "Bring this young man to the chief captain, for he has a certain thing to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, "Paul, the prisoner, called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you, who has something to say to you." Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, "What is that you have to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you that you would bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not you yield to them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him, and now are they ready, looking for a promise from you." So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, "See you tell no man that you have shown these things to me." And he called unto him 2 centurions, saying, "Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night. And provide them beasts that they may set Paul on, and bring him safely to Felix the governor." And he wrote a letter after this manner: "Claudius Lysias to the most excellent governor Felix sends greetings. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause of why they accused him, I brought him forth into their council. whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told to me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent immediately to you and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before you what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the next day they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the cattle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, "I will hear you," said he, "when your accusers have also come." And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Acts chapter 24. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, whom informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by you we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by your providence, we accept it always and in all places, most notable Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious to you, I beg you that you would hear us by your clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also has gone about to profane the temple, whom we took, and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you, by examining of whom yourself may take knowledge of all these things, whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned to him to speak, answered, "Forasmuch as I know that you have been of many years a judge to this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that you may understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offence toward God and toward men. Now after many years I come to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before you, and object if they had anything against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me, while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in this question by you this day." And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know accurately of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come to him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in the Messiah. And as he reasoned of righteousness temperance and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." He hoped also that money should have been given him by Paul, that he might loose him. Therefore he sent for him more often and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Acts chapter 25. Now when Festus had come into the province after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and sought him, and desired favour against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly there. "Let them, therefore," said he, "which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there is any wickedness in him." And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he had come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, "Will you go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me?" Then said Paul, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there are none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "Have you appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shall you go." And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause to the king, saying, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, 'It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused has the accusers face to face, and has license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him.' Therefore, when they had come here without any delay on the next day, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth. Against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Yeshua, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved for the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, 'I would also hear the man myself.' 'Tomorrow,' said he, 'you shall hear him.' And on the next day, when Agrippa had come and Bernice with great pomp, and had entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, 'King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself has appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write to my lord. Therefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before you, O King Agrippa, that, after examination is made, I might have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not therewith to signify the crimes laid against him."